Welcome to Whole Hog Radio. After Arkansas's 95-93 win over Tennessee at Bud Walton Arena, really exciting, entertaining overtime game here in Fayetteville, that Scotty Bordelon, I'm Matt Jones, kind of felt like some of the old-time Arkansas basketball games. It's been a while since we've heard Bud Walton Arena sound like it did there toward the end of the game in quite a while.
Yeah, I know John Rothstein, I was sitting and waiting on Mike to come in after the game, and John Rothstein, the college basketball writer, he said, or he tweeted that it looked like it felt like 94 in here again. And I mean, I was barely a year old in 94 when Arkansas was playing for national championships and whatnot, but we were talking about it during the game. It was, I mean, our ears were ringing, and at one point mine were actually hurting at one point in the game. I mean, this place was just delirious at times, and Daryl Macon gave them a lot of reason to.
Yeah, you and I were sitting by each other during the game, and we were like a couple of old men just shouting at each other
because
we were near each other over the roar of the crowd. And I took the opportunity after Daniel Gafford's dunk that put Arkansas ahead for the first time in the final minute.
It was under a minute
just
left,
to record the crowd noise, and just take a listen to this. I'm not sure that that accurately depicts just how loud it was in the arena. I actually had recorded a decibel meter on my phone to see if I could get a decibel reading during this game, and it would only go up to 120 decibels. And I think it was quite a bit higher than 120 decibels at time. Mm-hmm. But that roar after Gafford made the shot was a sustained roar throughout the arena for a good 45 seconds to a minute. And it was really something to behold, I thought, to just listen to that and how passionate these fans were about the way Arkansas was playing, the way they had come back. Again, like we said earlier, it just really felt like some, you know, the old times in here.
Yeah, and I thought it was a couple of things. I thought it was Daniel Gafford's a dunk from Daniel Gafford, one, and then that dunk puts them up a point, and I think fans can kind of feel they're on the verge of a big win. And that they're on the verge of finally, after weeks and weeks of feeling disrespected, maybe getting cracking into that top 25.
It feels like a breakthrough for Arkansas basketball. Not just this game, but a collection of games, whether it be the two wins that they had in Portland or the win they had over Minnesota here a few weeks back. This game, they have plenty of other big games coming up. A&M and Kentucky come in here back-to-back nights in February, in mid to late February. And so it just feels like this program is kind of in a breakthrough season, if you will, under Mike Anderson. And it's kind of ironic that they're in that point, because I think they've got, what, six or seven seniors, and it makes you wonder about next year. But you know, that's beside the point. But it just feels like the fan base, I don't know if it's because of the football struggles coupled with this, but they've really been behind this team. And, you know, so many people have been vocal about, are they going to get in the top 25? I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that they're going to be in the top 25.
Something criminal's happening if they're not in it next week. But I think one of the reasons these fans are latching on to these guys so much is because they play the crowd, like in these big games. When I think Daryl talked about it a few minutes ago with Blake, and Daryl's really good at playing the crowd. Like, he realizes big moments when he's in them. And he'll be the first to walk over to the crowd and get them to get a little bit louder, and he does that a lot.
He kind of milks it too. Mm-hmm. He got knocked down on a play. I don't know if it was toward the end of regulation or in overtime, but he got knocked into the Arkansas cheerleaders or POM squad, and was kind of milking it for a second, almost like he was trying to get the officials to rethink, was that a normal foul, or should I be calling some sort of technical foul?
Yeah, it was just his momentum from running straight towards the inbounds pass, but yeah, he knows how to work the officials a little bit, and especially the crowd. And there was a lot of opportunities to do that today. They got the crowd. I mean, this crowd was loud from the beginning after the first basket. But I mean, even like I think Daniel went down and had the dunk and put Arkansas up one, and then Anton comes down and fouls a Tennessee guard. And so Tennessee's at the line with, 18 seconds left, the chance to take the lead, and this crowd is just electric. And I think they played a part in Arkansas winning today.
Let's talk about
especially in missing one of those two free throws.
Let's talk about Gafford for a second, because I know you and I were talking about, I don't know if it was halftime or midway through the second half, but we were talking some about how he was not necessarily struggling, but about how he kind of looked like a freshman mm-hmm. playing his first SEC game. The first few minutes he had a couple of shots blocked. Did not shoot well from the free throw line. And there's been so much talk lately about whether or not he's an NBA draft prospect in the coming draft in 5 or 6 months. And games like today kind of make you wonder whether or not he's ready to make that jump after this season. But, you know, to his credit, I thought he really did a good job this afternoon of, yeah, kind of taking his lumps early. But there toward the end, whether it was, you know, the big dunk or they needed a rebound or a block shot, he had 5 block shots today. He really did a lot for them. And he's one of the more special freshmen, I think, and if not just the SEC, all of college basketball.
Yeah, I think you could tell early it was his first game in the league. I don't think he was expecting the physicality, or I think part of it was also he was playing a guy who was as long and as tall as him, so he matched up with him pretty well. Got a shot pinned a couple times early, probably wasn't expecting that, and then he got a rebound, went really high for a rebound and brought the ball for some reason back behind his head and then got it ripped away from him. And he looked like a freshman early, but I thought, you know, he ended up with those 5 block shots, and some of them were monster blocks, mm-hmm. like, and got the crowd up. And
yeah, the one at the first media timeout in the first half.
That was when I thought he settled in a little bit.
Yeah. Well, and I thought the whole team did too, because Tennessee came out and played really well the first 4 or 5 minutes of the game. They hit 5 of their first 6 three-pointers, mm-hmm. and they were 7 of 10 or 7 of 11 from the field at one point.
Yeah.
And they cooled off after that, but – there was such a buzz in the arena for, God, probably 30 minutes leading up to the game. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was pretty impressive what Tennessee did to come out, withstand that. And then for Arkansas, I thought that block really kind of settled them in.
Tennessee did everything that they needed to early to grab a lead like they had. Like, they shot it really well from 3 early, and they didn't turn it over a whole lot against that Arkansas pressure. And me and Bob were talking about it. The turnovers that Tennessee did have were dead ball turnovers. They weren't ones where they were driving and kicking and Jalen Barford would step in front and it would take off and lead to a layup on the other end. Nothing like that. It was just they were all dead ball turnovers. Admiral Schofield hit like career-high 4 threes today, hit his first 3, and mm-hmm. I wasn't really expecting that. I didn't know he could do that, but they did, and their guard play was really good too. I was really impressed with their guards.
Tennessee got away with a couple of walks in the first half that led 6 points, a three-pointer and a three-point play, and really had the crowd frustrated, and that was you know, basically the difference in the halftime score, 38-31. Let's talk about the end of regulation, because with 3:53 remaining, Arkansas trailed 70-61. And over the next 8:53, you know, final 3:53 of regulation in overtime, Arkansas outscored Tennessee by 11 points and scored 34 of their 95 points over that 9-minute stretch. I thought that was just phenomenal how their offense came alive.
Yeah, they really got started clicking, and that's when Darryl I think on our message board there was a post that Clay started, because who's the alpha on this mm-hmm. team? I think it's Darryl. I don't think there's much question, and there's no doubt in my mind anyway. He facilitates when he needs to, and he scores, and he's got the killer instinct. He wanted the ball, he wanted to put the dagger in Tennessee. He got the opening to do it, and he did it, and played the crowd again. Like right after that, like he got the crowd just. Like I said, it was delirium. It was delirium in here for a while. And they really got clicking. And Jalen and I think Rick Barnes talked about Arkansas's guards just driving baseline a lot today. And I think a lot of their points in the overtime came in that last probably 3 or 4 minute stretch where Jalen Barford's just manning up on his guy and just taking him to the hole. a couple times, and Daryl did the same thing in overtime too. So those two really stood out. And the Hogstats came up with something that says first time Arkansas has had two players with 28 or more points in an SEC game ever. So yeah. those two were phenomenal.
Yeah, Daryl Macon has had the last two 30-point games for Arkansas. Yeah. I had the big 30-point outing against Ole Miss. And just to kind of drive home how impressive the offense was there toward the end, Tennessee actually made a little bit of a run in the final minute,
yeah,
maybe a little bit more than a minute to get the game back to a respectable level. But at one point, Arkansas was on a 28-8 run over, you know, the end of regulation into overtime. And for the way they were outplayed for the first 36 minutes or so, I just thought that was really, really impressive. Big win for Arkansas today. Next up, Mississippi State on Tuesday down in Starkville.
Yeah.
This, you know, might not seem like a big game, but I think this is a big game for Arkansas. They're going to be ranked when they go there, probably somewhere in the 20s. I wouldn't be surprised if they're 21, 22 going into that game based on, you know, the outcomes of some other top 25 teams toward the bottom this week. But it's their second true road game. And in their last one, they really laid an egg at Houston. And I think that's got to be a motivating factor for them.
And they've got another road game after Mississippi State, right? They go to Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that Mississippi State game's big just because you want to prove that you are worthy of your ranking and that you can win on the road. And Mike's teams have been really improved on the road.
Yeah, the last three years or so.
Yeah. But you also – you want to go in and get a win at Mississippi State just to build confidence, continue to build. And then you go in, and Auburn's playing really well this year too. I think I wrote the other night they've covered the spread in 7 out of 10 games they've played. And they play at a fast pace too, so we probably see another up-and-down game at Auburn too. The Mississippi State game will be pretty big.
What was your biggest takeaway today?
Man, I love guard play, so it's obviously Daryl and Jalen. I love watching – I remember watching Daryl when he was at Parkview, and you could see just, like, the raw talent. And then he goes – he graduates from Parkview, goes to JUCO, and comes here, and he's turned into one of the elite guards in the league. Mike said that this week at one of his press conferences, and Daryl's just proving him right game after game. And he'd been having some issues, I guess, scoring the ball early, but he was also finding teammates for good looks, racking up assists. But he's been really, really good.
He's been really good. Like, first half today.
Yeah, like first team All SEC.
SEC Player of the Year type.
Yes,
numbers
really,
he's putting
really
up.
Good. Yeah, Daniel Gavitt, I love the way that he's settled in. And you look at his stat line, and it's a really good stat line outside of the free throws. And he had – I think he was 6 of 8 shooting, so he was efficient. When they started throwing the ball to him on the block a lot, I think they did it for 3 or 4 straight possessions. And they loved going to him because, I mean, it's a 3-foot shot's better than, I guess, Anton Beard taking another three. But Daniel was really good. He settled in. Did his thing rebounding, and then, I mean, it's always nice to have somebody protecting the rim, finish with 5 blocks.
A couple of takeaways for me. I don't think Arkansas loses in Bud Walton Arena. You just can't pick against them. Something about the comfort level that they have here, even what smaller crowds are able to do for them here, it's just such a hard place.
Yeah, they just
got
such a comfort level here.
Right outside this room where we are, there's a big kind of wall banner. It's a quote from John Calipari. It says, "You don't come in here expecting to win."
Yeah.
And I just don't expect Arkansas to lose this game. Even when they were down at 9 or by 9 with, you know, about 4 minutes left, I'm sitting there thinking, I think they're going to go on a run and, you know, make this at least interesting at the end. And obviously they ended up winning. And the other takeaway I had today is that you hear this so many times that Mike Anderson is not a good in-game coach. I thought today he showed he was a terrific in-game coach because Tennessee took away Arkansas's game plan early on. And, you know, kind of like what happened against North Carolina last year in the NCAA tournament, they were able to adjust and, you know, really beat a quality team. I think playing at home certainly, you know, played a factor in that. But for people who say that Mike can't make in-game adjustments, I would go turn on the final 10 minutes or so of this game in overtime, because I thought they did a really fine job of adjusting to what Tennessee had taken away from them.
Yeah, and I thought him I thought Mike subbing in Orlando Cook was pretty big because Trey did not have a good day today.
Well, and
Adriel Bailey played only 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And the only stat he had was a block in 5 minutes, and Trey wasn't that great. And Daniel,
they had to have somebody come in when Dustin Thomas went out with
right,
his fifth foul.
Yeah, and Dustin Thomas was –
And I don't know if Cook would be the one that most people would think to put in there.
Yeah, but Orlando, like Mike said after the game, he loves Orlando's edge, and he might not do stuff that – I know it's cliche, but he does things that don't show up in the box score. Like he doesn't get a rebound for jumping up on a missed shot and tapping it to somebody else when he can't go get it himself, stuff like that. And contesting shots, I thought he did a pretty good job contesting shots today. And Tennessee's got some good bigs, and I thought he more than held his own today. He was pretty impressive to me. You know, he just played 13 minutes, though.
So. Yeah, and he was part of that junior college haul that they got last year. Yeah. They brought in Barford and Macon, and those were three of the five on the floor at the end of the game. You know, they say that junior college players usually don't pan out until about, what, three quarters of a way through their first year into their second year, and you're really seeing Arkansas, you know, get some results from that junior college class that they had. Big win for Arkansas today, 95-93 over Tennessee at Bud Walton Arena. Make sure to go to WholeHogSports.com. We'll have plenty of coverage from this game, including tomorrow. We'll look ahead. We'll turn it around quick. We'll look ahead to the Mississippi State game. For Scotty Bordelon, I'm Matt Jones. Thanks for joining us.